Well done. Can I extend to you a warm welcome to Liberty? You're very, very welcome. God is amazing, isn't he? And you may think, you know, when you come to a place, at some stage in all of our lives coming into church, having a connection with Jesus, you go, they're all off the head. We all think that. But I want to tell you, we're off our head in the right way. I want to tell you that much. That it's gas. I'm just thinking, like, listen to Glenn. And well done, Glenn. Praise God. God is so good. And but I was thinking when Glenn was there, like, we always use that term, they're off the head, but we're living in dire poverty, inside and outside. And we're like, they're off the head. And what am I doing? Like, where am I living at? It's just one of those crazy self-deceptive things that people live in. And then the light goes on. I remember walking up the flats. That's what I used to get slagged. Did the light go on for you now? It did. It did. You have a slate loose. That's how the light got in. You're a nut. I'm screwed to the right bolt. There was all types of banter going on to throw back. Because God always remains good. Always. And I tell you put your trust in him. And for your loved ones. Like, there's a story. Two stories standing there. And wherever dire situation you may find yourself, these are people that are saying, holding a banner saying, God is real. God is alive. And he listens to people because he loves people. He's mad about you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And if you can grasp that, I want to tell you, you'll pray and you will see God come through. I want to just quickly point out two things. One is, before I get into the word, one is we are committed to orphanages in Belarus, which is a former Russian state. We've gone as a church, numbers and numbers of people from here have gone over to work with orphans and to build an old folks home and all types of tremendous things. And coming up on them, on Saturday the 2nd of October, there's a black toy ball. There's actually a premiere of a documentary that was made about our last trip to Belarus. And it's absolutely, if you look on Patchley on the internet, just put in Patchley, the videos will come up and you'll see the quality of these videos that some young men done in from UCD. And this is the premiere ball, a red carpet event. My goodness, I used to think, like, people used to think, not me, because I knew better. Like, come a Christian, what happens? Your life bored, and I want to tell you, I've gone to places as a Christian that I would have never, ever gone to as a non-Christian. I've ate food that I would have never tasted as a non-Christian, that I've tasted as a Christian. Do you know what I mean? I never knew what lasagna was. I hadn't got a clue till I became a Christian. And then it just seemed to be every Christian's dinner. Every place. Anyway, but, like, there is a price. It's €55. All the guys here, grab yourself a girl and bring her. Buy a ticket. Someone says, Noel, how do you, I don't know how to get a girl. I tell you, here's an opportunity. Buy a ticket. Get her to put on a lovely dress. Wear a nice pair of slacks yourself and get to the ball. And it will be a great night. I said slacks for the fun of it. I wasn't really meaning slacks. That's a real, I'm going to Frawley's for a pair of slacks, isn't it? But anyway, see, Anne, will you please stand up? Anne has tickets here. You'll get tickets. Ask anyone about the tickets. Make it a night. If you haven't got someone, you can come on your own. It's not about this, like, couples and all that. Like, are they actually tickets or just sugar? I was just going to put them in my pocket so I wouldn't have to pay. And here's another thing. A great event is happening and a great door is opening up for us as Liberty. We believe in this church, I believe with all my heart, that what God is doing in our midst here is bigger than what's here. That there's bigger buildings to be bought and there's thousands and thousands of more people to be reached with the story of who Jesus is. That he's the same today as he was yesterday. And he does the same things that he did yesterday, he does them today. And we have an opportunity to go to a place called Bray. And we are engaging with a church in Bray as Liberty. And starting in October the 10th, Liberty is going to Bray. We're going to have a Sunday evening service in Bray, in this church called Bray Upper Room. And the term we're putting on it is, we're bringing Liberty to Bray. And we are going to, for this next year and whatever God has after that, we are going to take all that we are as Liberty. And we're going to bring it to Bray. And then when we're finished with Bray, we're going to bring it to Finglas. And when we're finished with Finglas, we're going to bring it to Clondalkin and all of the places that we set up all these little liberties everywhere, doing the same thing that we're good at, telling people about Jesus, reaching out to the broken, reaching out to the up and out and the down and out. So I'm inviting you all. Sorry, I thought you were calling me. Were you going to say, don't forget Ballyferme? All right. Well, we'll start in Bray because God opened this door for us, right? And I'm inviting Liberty to come to Bray. I'm inviting that. We are going to have a Sunday evening service, but it's just not in this building. It actually is going to be in Bray. The leadership is on board. The worship team is on board. The preachers are on board. The sound people are on board. The media team is on board. The ushers are on board. Even Life Cafe is on board. And we're going to rock Bray. Amen? We're going to bring Liberty to Bray. Amen. Isn't God so good that he allows us to do this? And you have an opportunity to serve. Please turn in your Bible to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings. Chapter 6, sorry, and chapter 7 and verse 3. I need to get through this. There was a competition that occurred over this last year, and it was called Your Country, Your Call. And the two winners got announced yesterday or the day before. And what the entrants had to do was, each person that entered the competition had to come up with an idea that would help prosper the country. So it was a business idea or a business proposition. It was an innovative type of digital ventures around. The ones that won Ireland to become like the digital hub of Europe. And they had this plan, and they won 500,000 to put this plan into action. And it was a great competition and a great name. And I looked at the winners through the night, and I was like, my goodness, what a great name. Your Country, Your Call. And I want a title this morning. This is my passion. I want to call this, it's Your City, Your Call. Your City, Your Call. That this is no one else's city. This is our city. This is the city that we love. This is the city that we live in. This is the city, the Dublin city. Dublin city is an amazing, amazing place. The people are amazing. The traditions are amazing. The men and women are amazing. And the things that have come out of this city in yesteryear and even in modern years have absolutely been incredible. And this is the crux of it. God wants to use Liberty. That means you and me that call this place home. He wants us to go on the mission of God and to reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have no small vision in this church. In fact, our vision is so big, if God is not in it, we're going to all look fools. But you make it so big, and he puts in your heart so big that it can't be reached unless he is actually in it. It's your city. And God has a call on your life. And he has a purpose for your life. And he has something that you bring to the table to contribute. So here's my entrance into the competition for Dublin City. Because there is a competition for Dublin City. There is enemies of Dublin. There is forces and spiritual forces that doesn't want to see this city prosper, meaning the people of the city. And here's my contribution to Dublin, that we want to take this city and turn it on its head, that we will be people that will say Jesus is the answer. And when this city turns back, each individual, and looks heavenward, just like Glenn said he done, God will answer that prayer, and our city will be a city that will be known for the things of heaven and the things of God. That this little city, 1.4 million, in yesteryear sent out thousands of men and women, particularly men in the dark ages, that got into little boats with the message of Jesus Christ and went into medieval Europe. The light was turned off. Barbarianism ruled the roost. People were in darkness. And when the Christian from this land, Christian I mean the Christ follower, those who know him and those who serve him, When they got thrown out on the little curraghs, they were pushed out from the edge of our shores, and they went in the boats. And he says, wherever the wind takes us, that's where we believe God has placed us. Wherever the wind takes us, that's where we will believe God has placed us. And they got out of the boat, and you know what they done with the boat? They burnt it. Because they said, we're not going back till this place is won. That's our ancestors. That's our history. That's our roots. That's why people go all from all over this nation to all parts of the world. Because in the DNA of the Irish man and woman, it's to go. Sometimes over the years, we just forgot what to bring. But the call from Liberty is we bring the message of hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. And that's a big amen. So for you and me to do this, our heart and our message is that you fulfill your potential, that you live out your inheritance, that every place you find yourself, your place of influence, that you bring impact to those who God has placed around you. That means when we see a need as a Christian, we meet it. That means when we see someone that has no jacket and we have two, we give one. That means we do show forgiveness. That means when we see no hope, we are the carriers of hope. No, you know, there was a young man that beat this honker at me the other day. Truly, and I love this, and I in no way am ashamed of this. And if I'm bragging, so be it, it's in God. And if you pick her up as that, so be it. He sits in my house, a cocaine problem. He comes with his man into my house. I never seen a young man broken, but he beeps at me the other day. And my daughter says, Dad, who was that? I was just wavering. He said, who was that? And I says, you know what, honey? He came into our house, and he sat in my car, in the sitting room. And he was sobbing. And I says, look at me. He looked at me and says, your life is never going to be the same because you've met me. And he looked at me. You remember? I says, you're never going to be. And I says, I'll tell you why. Because the King of Hope lives in me. You can't help but affect people. And if you know it and you're confident in it, you can spread it a lot easier than holding back and saying, who am I? And you're waiting through the day. How is it going? He says, life is good. He says, what's the story of your little kid in the back? Yeah, he says, we're having another baby. It means his family is being put back together. I'm like, praise God. That, like, that's what we bring to the city. When we see the hurt, we bring comfort. When we see the sick, Jesus says, put your hands on them, pray in the name of Jesus and heal them. And if we do that, what Jesus says we have to do, we will see what Jesus told us we will see. And if we go as he told us to go, we will see what he told us we will see. But if we sit down and go, oh, there's great miracles happening everywhere, why isn't it happening in my life? Step out. We'll get to there in a minute. When your company you work for, when the college that you're in, when your boss is up the creek without a paddle and he's looking for an idea, I want to tell you, God will give you the idea. God will elevate you. God will just put something. I learned of a banker guy in this city that I know, a Christian. He worked for one of those societies, not one of the big banks. And the big banks were, this was a good few years ago, the big banks were run away with all of the profit margins, all of the people. They had a great PR system of getting people to join their packages and whatever. And their little bank was going down the drain. And he says, none of them could come up with the answer. And this guy said, Lord, will you help me? And the Lord gave him an idea. And the idea was proposed to his directors. All of the business in the bank came right up to the level or near enough the level of everyone else. He got elevated in his bank, not just in his small bank, but in the whole company, up a couple of ladders. Why? Because he got an idea from God. And I believe God wants to do that for us, but not just for us, but for our city. Because I tell you, if we prosper, that prospers. And if the city prospers, we prosper. That is the way it is. And here's a story I want to just bring a few points out on. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3. I want to tell you what's going on before this. Before this, the people of God were in the city, and the city was called Samaria, and the enemies of the people of God, they had come against them. So the city was surrounded. There was nothing coming in. There was nothing going out. And in the end, a big famine broke out, because if there's nothing going in, there's no food going in. And all of the people of God were going to starve. And the king had given up. And in fact, the reality is, God told these people to do something in the city, and they didn't do it. And God says, look, if you don't do that, there's a consequence. So they didn't do that, and they chased after other things, and they were living now in the consequence of what was going on. And so the city got that bad with famine. That in one of the passages just before that, the king is walking on the wall, and there's two women fighting. Do you know what they were fighting over? They had my two babies, and they decided to eat one of the babies. And they ate one of the babies, and then when it was come time to put the other baby in the fire to cook it, the other one wouldn't give the baby up. The things that went that bad, that cannibalism was in the ranks, in the house, in the city that God was blessing. That's how bad it went. And you and I might look, and that's horrible. I don't know that's horrible. But when I look sometimes, and I'm not here to give out about our city in any stretch, but I want to tell you, we're killing each other. Look at the newspapers. Look at our young fellas killing one another. We're like cannibals towards one another. And that's just at that level. And then there's other levels where we're eating the face off each other. We're eating the face off the government. We're eating the face off anything. And we go, well, look, that's horrible. But that's just horrible. Because that brings down a city. That brings down individuals. And that's how bad this place went to. So all the consequences of this was going on. And here's the great part of the story. Well, a lighter part of the story. Now, there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the enemy, the Arameans, and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we will die anyway. So they were saying, four lepers. One is, no one wanted the lepers near them. The lepers had to wear a bell around their neck. They had to be so many feet away from folk that hadn't got leprosy. So they had to walk around and the bell would ring and they would shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. So they were nobodies. They were people that had no say, no rights, no nothing. They were people that no one wanted to listen to. Everyone walked by, and they were outside the city gate, and they go, look, what are we going to do about what's going on? The city is under siege. If we stay where we're at, we're going to die. If we go into the city, the famine is there, we're going to die. If we go over here to the enemy, if they kill us, we're going to die. Sure, we're going to die anyway, but let's die actually doing something about our problem. That was the decision they came to. They came to the decision of, let's do something about our situation. So what did they do? You know, it's amazing how many people sit in the sidelines of watching other people or watching life gone by, and they're dying and wasting away, and they won't do something about what's going on in their world. You won't do something about the siege that we see people under. There's financial needs in the city. There's social needs in the city. There's political disasters in the city right now. There's no trust in authority. There's no vision. There's hopelessness creeping into every sphere of society. And we can't be the ones that say we pray and we love this city and sit by and go, if we go there, we're going to die. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go to the other place, we're going to die. And we have this death mentality. Our young people are like, all of our places in college is getting taken because like there's so much unemployment. And there's all this stuff that is jostling for the welfare of the city, the welfare of people. And before you know, in that situation, people start turning on one another. There's a competitiveness that becomes nearly evil in job situations, in college situations, and more backhanders will go on because of what's going on, of what's happening. But if we sit back and don't do something about it, we're like the lepers. We go, we're going to die. I may as well die trying to get the best for me. As to die getting nothing. We are called as a church, as Christians, as people of God, to do something about what we see. I love when John was up here talking about Lloyd Cafe. You might think, oh, that's a nice little cafe. No, we've seen 20 years ago, the generation in their flats in Dolphin's Barn, all of the 46, 7, 8-year-olds are all gone. They're all dead because an enemy, we were under siege from an enemy that wiped away all of our young men and women. And God touches a little fella. I was only that size at the time. That was supposed to be funny. You're already serious. Trying to line you up. But truly, I'm only that size. That's right. I'm in self-delusion. I'm standing on a platform. But I was a young fella going nowhere, nothing, no hope in my life, going down the same road as everyone else in my community. God comes in. I thought they were all mad as well, but God touches my life and I became part of the mad people who were actually going to do something about the siege that we were under. And God says, come on, we do something about this in this community. That's why the Life Cafe started, because we said, we see all of our young people going down the same road, but then we decided we're not going to stand for that anymore. We're not going to say, let's sit around and die. We says, let's start something that will stop this. When you see the stew crew going out, what happened was Wayne one day going into town reads a little free paper. Two men died of the cold on the streets of Dublin. Of the cold. The cold. Wayne gets touched, comes back. We have to do something about it. So every time the stew crew goes out, it's not necessarily just bringing a cup of soup. It's doing something about the dying that's going on in our city. And hope being brought in. And Glenn's, who said he was homeless, now standing up saying, God, touch my life. Doing something about it. We're called to do something about it. We're called to be the answer. We're called, the four lepers says, they were fingers are falling off, nose, ears falling off. Oh, what are we going to do? I don't know, but we got to do something or we're going to die. Die. Chickling in the church. Young women touching young women's lives to tell them they're great and they're worth more than everything else in this world is telling them. So what were they all about? What are they doing? They're saying, look, we see what's the lie or the lie that's being sold to our young women. Let's tell them the truth. Let's tell them how great and fabulous and wonderful and beautiful they are. Let's instill into them confidence so they don't throw their life away like the rest of the city. And then they go back to their young ones and they shine. What's it about you? Like Teen Challenge, David Wilkins in 1958. Young men in gangs all going about killing each other. He says, I'm here to do something about the problem. I can go on. Lifeline, Belarus Missions, Chickling, WOW, SportsLink, Stomp and Chomp, they're all upstairs. The great big giveaway coming up at Christmas. Last year we were able to give out something like 200 hampers and clothes and tires and perfumes and Christmas trees, haircuts and perms and the whole lot to people, because we've seen that there's people are losing their jobs and people are getting cut in wages and the mortgages are killing people. So we said, let's do something about it. Let's put food in their hands so it will save money for their family. Let's, instead of a woman getting her hair cut for, how much is it now, Sharon? I won't say that. Let's say a woman getting our hair done, like it causes a fortune for you as women. Getting your hair done. We got all the hairdressers volunteer their time, the barbers. Four kids getting their hair cut is like €40. She says, no, missus, you keep the €40. We'll do something about it. That's coming up again. We want to do 750 hampers. We want to reach into more people and give more people hope and say, look, the church wants to do something about it. Why? Because we care for our city. Amen. And I'm sending you out today as in the name of Jesus. I want my vision and a vision of our church is to empower you and equip you and to anoint you to tell people about the hope that's only found in Jesus. About the hope that he brings, in the freedom that he brings, the healing that he brings. I'm sending you out in the name of Jesus to reach out to every space and place that God has placed you. I'm sending you out as Liberty in the name of Jesus to do something about what you see. You read the Bible, I'll tell you, I have to be changed. Jesus says, if anyone asks you for anything, you have to give it. Shaney caught me rapping with this recently. I'm not joking. I'm like, I said, Lord, I'm reading through Luke, and I says, Jesus, whatever I'm reading this, I want to be like you. You sure no? First of all, forgive your enemies. Can I do something else, Lord? Believe me, Christianity is not for wimps. It's not for the hideaway people. I remember a fella says to me, if you want to know what a real man is, become a Christian. There's a challenge. I thought, like Glenn, none of us could fight. I thought we'd run away. You know, I did. If you want to know what a real man is, read what Jesus said a real man is. Forgive your enemies, turn to your cheek. I used to think you turned your cheek while you were coming. So God, Jesus knew boxing. But yeah, swallow your pride and walk away. It works out the best in the long run. Your ego is dented. But you're not bringing trouble to your family's door. It works. And here's how he says, I read, Jesus said, if anyone asks you for that and you have a giving, he doesn't put who to give to and who not to give to. He doesn't say what to give and what not to give. I'm like, okay, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want you to live your life through me. I'm walking out the door. Just as I read this, went into a shop, came out, went back in the car, a Romanian gypsy man begging on the street. And I don't know why I never ever gave to a Romanian gypsy guy. Maybe the newspapers influenced me. I said, I didn't even say it, I just ignored him as a person. You can't have Jesus and ignore people. This doesn't fit. And I got into the car and it's like God spoke and said, I thought you wanted to be like my son Jesus. And I went out to the man and apologized to him. I mean, it was 2 stinking euro. 2 euro. I get into my car and I'm like, are we all right now, Lord? Every morning for a year, we go down to the traffic lights, leaving the girls to school. There's a little Romanian gypsy girl there. And for a year, I ignored her. I didn't even recognize her. Shame on me. I says, that can never happen again. But I also seen the man that used to take our money up at the top of the lights. So we stopped and I let Sharon out and she battered him. Only joking. That was a joke. That was Eric. So we says, how do we get over this? How do I get over this? So every morning we brought her down breakfast bar. I called her over. I said, come here, honey. No one calls her over. She stands out there like with the face on her that would stop a clock for ages. He says, here, God bless you. And Erica says to me, half jokingly, did Jesus tell you to do that? I says, yeah, Luke chapter 8. You see it, you do something about it. You see someone with 2 tunics, the Bible says 2 coats. You 2 coats, you see someone with none. You want to be like Jesus, give him a coat. You want to be like, you don't have to be silly in your giving. But give something. Give a smile, give an acknowledgement. Jay Rafferty, I was going to get him to share, he's not here this morning. But Jay was telling me in his job, I'll finish this sermon next week, so you better come back. But Jay said in his job, he says, this fella comes into his job, and he says, every time you see him now, he's another lump gone out of his face. He says he changes like from week to week. He's disintegrating. A drinker guy, nobody wants to know him on the streets. And Jay's going to work, and he beeps at him and waves, and goes on, your man waves back and goes on. He goes into work and later, sometime during the day, your man says to Jason, he says, thanks for beeping at me. Thanks for beeping at me. I said, Jay, what did I say to you? He says, no, he was saying, thanks for acknowledging me that I'm a human being. Thanks for acknowledging me that I'm a person. Like, not a sermon. Not a track. Not a bang of a Bible. But thanks for acknowledging me as a human being. He knows Jason is a follower of Jesus. And these 4 lepers, they said, there's something wrong. Let's do something about it. And I release you, whether it's your first time or your millionth time here, there's something that God has for you to do. No matter what your life has been. See, the Christian life here, I live in a fairy tale. I actually do get to live happily ever after. If it's not in this life, it will be in the next life. In this life, I will have suffering and trials and tribulations and great victories and successes. But the story is, Noah lives happily ever after. The Bible says one day, my prince, Jesus, is going to come on a white horse. And he's going to take his bride, the church, up. I can't wait. I hope I'm alive. I truly, I'm like, Lord, would you just tell me? I want to see the sky splitting open and him coming back. It's the longing of my heart. I've no fear of it. I welcome it. If it happens today, I'd be like, come on, Lord. we do get to live happily ever after. And I'll give you this to read on your time at home, right, and we finish this next week because it's important. But the first point with these men, they said, if we stay here, we die. And some of us are in situations today and find ourselves in circumstances. And you've settled. You've settled. And yet where you've settled will kill you in the end. And one you will find, you'll see in the next movement with these guys, they went to the camp and God had already sorted out the enemy. But it was only when they took a step to go, we're going to the camp. And when they went there, God had sorted out all the enemy. He put so much confusion in the camp, they all legged it. They left all the food, all of the armory, all of the horses, all of their clothes. She threw them off. And like, because when they moved, God moved. When they stepped out in faith, God stepped in. When they put their faith into action, God released heaven's motion into their world. And you and I may be facing situations, circumstances, or we have loved ones. And we're like, there's no hope. And you're sitting down with them. And you're dying with them. And see, as a believer in Christ, honestly, I believe it all in my heart. Pessimism is not belonging in the Christian's heart. Because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will never be disappointed. Those who trust in Him will not be put to shame. I am confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm confident. So if I go into a dark situation, I can't go, oh, you poor thing. Mommy, sit in the pit together. And no hope. The least we should say is, you know what, there might look like there's hope now, but there is hope. You might think you're up the creek without a paddle. I know it has a paddle. You might think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I know who is the light at the end of the tunnel. You might think it's dark and situation, and you go, I can't get out. And you are the one that says, yeah, you can get out. And you may be facing something. And I want to say, don't stay where you're at. Put your trust in God. Put your hope in God. He will make a way. You think He loves Noel more than He loves you. No, He doesn't. He loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your circumstance, your situation. But like these men, if you just stay accepting it, you will die in that place. Where today I'm calling you to say, I want to make a step of faith. And that step of faith might be just a decision for some people. It might be, I am no longer staying in that place. His stomp and chomp nail that I was talking about. It might be, I'm not staying in here. And my step of faith is saying, Jesus, I want thou. For some, you may have to do something. For some, you may have to stop doing something. For some, you may have to give something. For some, you may have to say something. It'd be all different for different folks, different strokes for different folks, because we all haven't got the same. It might be, I want to know this Jesus. That's your first step today. If you make that step and you step out in faith, you're doing something about your situation, and God comes in.